she's like the wind through my tree. She rides the night next to me.
Hey, we're back on Downtown on a Thursday afternoon. Man, that's one of those songs. You hear it, and you're right there in the middle of watching that movie, Dirty Dancing. Of course, we're talking about that wonderful song, She's Like the Wind, co-written along with Patrick Swayze by our next guest, a talented songwriter and photographer, Stacy Weidlitz. Stacy, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on.
Well, we're going to talk about Dirty Dancing, of course, but I want to go back even further than that. Can well talk about how the Richard Simmons Show, in many ways, was your start.
No, that was my first national credit. I'd been writing music in for a little studio in Connecticut, actually, in Stamford, for industrial shows and local jingles. And then my then-girlfriend, Wendy Fraser, who sings on She's Like the Wind, she and I got the chance to submit a theme for the Richard Simmons Show, and it was accepted, what we wrote, and we were flown out to L.A. to record it, and that was in the fall of 1980. Boy, that's a long time ago. And we realized after the show became an unexpected hit that we needed to move to Los Angeles to capitalize on it. We were both living in Astoria, Queens at that point. And so we made the move to L.A. The next year in 81, and it did serve as leverage into the business. We ended up both of us meeting Patrick Swayze and his wife, and we became friends with them in 1983.
And met them because they literally lived around the corner, right?
Yes, they were two houses away. I met Patrick in his acting class. By the way, I knew Patrick as Buddy. All family and friends referred to him as Buddy, and that's how he introduced himself to me when I met him. But we met in his acting class because I was brought in to play piano for somebody in a scene. And when we started talking on a break, I was looking at him and say, you know, you look really familiar. And so he said to me, have you seen The Outsiders? And I said, no. And he said, have you seen Renegades? And I said, no. He's getting annoyed at this point. And I said, it's not that kind of familiar. And then this blonde woman came over and he said, this is my wife, Lisa. And I said, I have it. The two of you are always working on a black 240Z on the weekends on La Jolla Avenue. And they looked at me and they said, yeah, how do you know that? And I said, I live right around the block from you. And that's how we became friends.
And he had the beginnings of She's Like the Wind, but it was the two of you that really put it together and made it into the song that we love all these years later.
Yes, he had the germ of it. He had a lot of great lines. Musically, he never got off the opening chords, which was C to E minor. He never expanded it beyond that. Also, it was interesting. He had the first two lines, which I loved, which was, she's like the wind through my tree, she rides the night next to me, which I found intriguing. But his third and fourth lines I didn't like. And I told him so. He was sitting in my apartment, me at the piano. He was on the couch with his guitar. And he said, well, what would you say? You know, almost like a challenge. And I said, she leads me through moonlight only to burn me with the sun. And I don't know where that came from, but he said, what does that mean? And I said, I don't care, just write it down.
Sometimes it's best if you don't know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Leave it vague and let everybody else figure out what it's supposed to mean.
Now, in the recording process, I didn't know about this, that it was going along, but you decided something was missing, and that's when you brought in the synthesizer, which makes such a difference.
It actually wasn't me that decided that. It was the executive producer of the album, Jimmy Einer, who's a legend of the music business. And Michael Lloyd, who produced the song and did a fantastic job with it, based it around the original demo that we did, on which I did all the keyboard parts. So Jimmy is listening to the keyboard player that Michael had hired, Stuart Levine, and he turned to me. I was sitting in the studio, and he said, what he's doing just isn't right. What synthesizer did you use on the demo? And I said, it was a type of synthesizer called an Oberheim 8 or OB-8. And so he said, where is it? And I said, it's 10 minutes away at my apartment. He said, go get it and bring it back here. So I did, and then I recreated all the synthesizer parts that I did on the original demos. That's so, like in the intro that we just heard, that's me playing all the synthesizer parts.
We're talking with Stacy Wadlitz here on Downtown. People might be surprised to know that Dirty Dancing was, what, the third film that you pitched the song to that others rejected it?
Yeah, I don't remember. It was Buddy or Patrick that pitched the second one, but I don't remember what that was. I know, you know, we wrote the song for a movie called Grandview, USA, and thankfully it was rejected from that movie. and then it sat in a drawer for 2 years, and then he played the demo for the producers and director of Dirty Dancing when he was on the set in North Carolina, and they loved it, and then he called me all excited and was just like, they want it for the movie. But, you know, what was interesting at the time was it didn't mean a big deal to me because I knew that it was a little low-budget movie. And the word was that it was going to be in the theaters for 1 week and then go straight to video and then to the depths of obscurity. And, of course, that didn't happen, thankfully. But so, you know, when we made the deal for the song, it was like, okay, you know, this is nice. It's a few thousand dollars and, you know, and it's a credit, and that's about it.
Everybody we've talked to that knew Patrick Swayze just can't stop talking about what a wonderful person he was. You were great friends and remain friends with Lisa to this day. What do you miss most about him?
Well, he was a very compassionate guy and very intense. But he also, what didn't come out a lot of times until he did the movie Tu Wong Fu, where he was in drag with Wesley Snipes and
right.
John Leguizamo, he had really a very goofy, fun, almost practical joking sense of humor. So we would constantly be making, you know, off-color jokes with each other. So I miss the sense of humor and that ability to talk about things on a very artistic and creative level.
You had great success at writing themes for television shows, most notably 90210. And people may not realize what a talented group of musicians playing on that. You on keyboard, Jeff Skunk Baxter on there, and Edgar Winter.
Yeah, Jeff and I wrote it. Unfortunately, it was axed from the final version of the show. You can only hear it on the original pilot episode. Because Aaron Spelling hated the graphics, and he ended up axing the whole opening, including our theme. But I ended up scoring a whole bunch of episodes. But yeah, Edgar Winter, you know, we wanted to use saxophone, and Jeff said to me, you know, I'll call Edgar. And I said, Edgar who? He said, Edgar Winter. And I said, you're kidding. And so, you know, of course, Jeff was, you know, a legend of guitar from the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan, but he was also, and still to this day, is a very good friend of mine. So it's almost like, wait a second, I'm awed by one rock star, but I'm not awed by Jeff, my friend. So it was very funny, and Edgar was great to work with.
Now, our friend Ken Franklin says you have some interesting stories about being with Ray Manzarek of the Doors.
Yeah, that was a funny thing that happened. I was working on a show for NBC called Erie, Indiana, which I loved working on because it was a cross between the Twilight Zone and the Wonder Years. And, you know, my main business in L.A. wasn't songwriting. It was scoring to film, you know, writing music to picture. So that's what I was doing with Erie. And my agent, Joel, called me one day, and he said, you know, I've got this guy sitting in my office. He comes more from the rock world, but he's interested in learning about scoring. And I figured since you're working on Erie, would it be okay if he comes over to your place and watches you work? And I said to him, I don't know, Joel. It's a very solitary, intense job. And I don't know if I want somebody sitting in the room with me who's not collaborating with me. So I said, who is it? So he said, it's Ray Manzarek. And so I paused because I'm a huge Doors fan. And, you know, this, especially the second album, Strange Days. And as a kid on keyboards, you know, I figured out all the keyboard parts that Ray did on the Doors records. So I said to him, I said, Ray Manzarek is sitting in your office right now, and he wants to come to my apartment to watch me work. And Joel said, yeah. So I said, okay. So Ray showed up the next day, and he was a great guy. He was, you know, he asked some questions here and there. And I was doing some very complex stuff because of the nature of the show. And then we took a break, where I took a break, and I said, I'll go make some tea. Let's go into the living room. So we went into the living room, and he was sitting across from me. And we were talking, you know, peer-to-peer. And then I finally turned to him at one point. I said, okay, you have to give me 30 seconds. And so he said, what for? And I said, just give me 30 seconds. And he said, okay. So I looked at the floor, and I said, I can't believe Ray Manzarek is sitting in my apartment. I can't believe Ray Manzarek is sitting in my apartment. I said that about 8 times, and then I looked up at him, and I said, okay, I'm done. And he was laughing, and he came over the next day, and one of the fun follow-ups to that was about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was in a big music store in L.A. called West L.A. Music, where I bought all my pro gear, and I knew the manager there and everything, but I was online to buy some cables or connectors or something at the main counter, and I hear this buzz around me saying, it's Ray Manzarek, it's Ray Manzarek. So I look up, and there's Ray, and he sees me, and in this crowded room, he points at me, and he yells out, get that man some service. That man is a genius.
Wow.
So that was a great moment.
You've also got some Al Kooper stories. Now, we had Al on our show a couple of years ago. He's like the Zelig of music. He's worked with everybody. And just when you think, well, no, Al Kooper wouldn't be involved in that. Oh, no, he was there, too.
Yes. I mean, he played French horn on You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. It's unbelievable. And we met through my hair cutter that I was using when I first moved to Nashville. One day she's cutting my hair, and she says, do you know of a musician named Al Kooper? And I said, of course. He's my boyhood hero. He had a band called The Blues Project. This is pre-Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And that was my favorite band when I was like 11 years old. I even bought a Farfisa Duo compact organ because that's what Al played in the band. And so she said, well, I've been kind of seeing him when he's in town. He lives in Boston. We're having dinner, you know, she said, whatever night. Do you want to join us for a drink beforehand? I said, of course. So she then called me and said, well, Al is giving you a half an hour, and then he and I are going to dinner. Al is also very curmudgeonly. And so we met up for drinks at his hotel, and we started talking. And the guitarist from the Blues Project was a guy named Danny Kalb. And his aunt, Goldie, was my aunt's best friend in Brooklyn. And so when I was talking to Goldie one time, I was maybe 12. And so she said, oh, you're into music. You know, my nephew, Danny Kalb, is in this band called the Blues Project. I said, oh, my God. So I'm sitting there having drinks with Al Kooper. And I said to him, I said, did you know Andy Kalb's Aunt Goldie? And Al is stunned. And he looks at me and says, yeah, how do you know her? So I told her, you know, about my aunt. And then the whole Brooklyn connection came out because my whole family was from Brooklyn. And then he finally turned to my haircutter, Suzanne, and me, and he said, why don't you join us for dinner at the Palm? Wow. So all of a sudden it turned into dinner. And then it turned into more interconnections with Quincy Jones' daughter, and, you know, who was a friend of mine. And it was just a really great evening. And then we had dinner another few times. And then with the Nashville Film Festival, we did a concert around a movie called The Wrecking Crew.
And oh, love that movie.
Mailed me from Boston saying, hey, I want to fly down to take part in this concert that you're doing. And I said, how do you know about this? And he says, I hear things. So it was really, I looked at him at one point over dinner and I said, you know, you're a big reason that I'm in the music business to begin with. And he actually was quite moved.
I love that movie, by the way. One of our great thrills 4 or 5 years ago was having Hal Blaine on our show.
Oh, how I had breakfast with him and Denny Tedesco, who directed the film, whose father was the great guitarist, Tommy Tedesco. And we were doing a screening for the artistic director of the Nashville Film Festival because I really wanted the movie to be in. And Denny was in town, and he called me, and he said, hey, do you want to have breakfast with me and Hal Blaine? I said, of course. So, and Hal played on a Simon and Garfunkel record, Bookends, which is one of my favorite records also, and did these incredible drum parts on Save the Life of My Child and America. So sitting with him, it's like, okay, I was listening to these records when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, he told us the story about playing drums, I think, for The Boxer. And they set up his kit just outside the elevator shaft to get a little echo.
Right, to get that that huge sound, yeah.
We're talking with Stacy Weidlitz here on Downtown. I want to make sure we mention your wonderful work. You're an accomplished photographer, and on your website at stacyweidlitz.com, a gallery of some great photos, and I love the photos you've taken here in this pandemic year in Nashville.
Yeah, the photography's been an interesting thing. It started in 2015 on a trip to Italy, where I bought a better camera than I'd been using for travel, and I discovered it had a black and white function. And I started taking pictures of people in black and white, and I grew up loving old classic street photography, and especially black and white movies, especially film noir. So it was coming out in the photos, but I felt it was important for me to go downtown Nashville, not to the tourist areas or the protests or anything like that, but to the, what I call the in-between places, to see just how people were living. And it was, I picked up a tremendous sense of isolation and loneliness while wandering around. Because with street photography, you don't know what to expect. And you just wander around with your camera ready. And when you see something, you pick it up and take the photo. So I'm glad you like those. They mean a lot to me, actually.
Well, they're remarkable. You can check them out again at Stacy's website, stacyweidlitz.com. Stacy, it's been great talking with you this afternoon. We'll have to have you come back on. I know you got a lot more stories, so hope you'll visit with us again down the road.
Yeah, I'd love to, because I must mention that Bar Harbor is one of my favorite places on earth.
Well, we're trying to keep it in good shape for you when everybody can travel again and get back here.
Yeah, it's great. And also, one of my favorite books ever written was On Writing by Stephen King, his kind of half autobiography, half manual on how to write. It's absolutely, and I understand he has an interest in the station.
He does indeed. He's our owner, and it is a remarkable book. I know I teach high school, and one of our English teachers uses that as a textbook in a creative writing course.
Yes, it's just, especially the section on editing your own writing. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Hey, Stacy, thanks so much. Been great talking with you. We'll do it again sometime.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That is Stacy Weidlitz with us here on Downtown.